Smy.
Adam.
Adam.
Hey, bud.
Adam. Adam, you there? Want to talk to the class?
I don't like this voice.
This is the newest character that we're adding.
Oh, no.
Very
Johnny Jogginson. He's so fun.
Ugh. Can you electricity whip that guy too, please?
Yeah, I'd like to cast Witch Bolt on Harrison.
No! Please. Devin, don't let him do it.
I'm going to cast...
Nope, sorry. Marina's sipping a vodka for this one.
I'm going to cast Disguise Self and then look like him and then take him out.
A lever thrown, the portal lid, our heroes pulled into the rift. Their next stop is unknown. In Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
They're here now, gone now, far away from home. In Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Quantum Dungeon.
Which road leads home they do not know, so they will roll. They roll.
Roll those dice.
They roll.
Crit fail twice.
Until the road leads home, they will roll. Roll, 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 Quantum Dungeon.
Welcome back to Quantum Dungeon, where the roles are real, but the science is made up. I'm Harrison Redward, your Dungeon Master, and with us, as always, we have our fog-free compatriots, the rhyming crew that always speaks true. Let's go around the table.
I am Adam Dunn. I am playing Will Smythe. That's Smythe, dear, not Smith.
I'm Devin Redward, and I'm playing the character of Just Marina.
Just Marina. And my name is Zach Blaylock, and I'm playing Patricia Moynihan, and I'm an actor, darling.
And I am Aaron Muller, and my character has yet to be revealed.
Yes, excellent. We have Aaron with us today, our first guest star, so welcome.
Yay.
And woo! And
we need to add music or like air horns behind that for.
We'll do that in post.
Perfect.
They'll be great. Compatriots, you enter the main cave of the Pixies area that they have just revealed, and you see a figure crouched in that same pretzel, sitting down, crisscross applesauce in a dome of fog. The Pixies, now having agreed that you can take the evil one away, dispel the fog, and they move out of the way, and a character is revealed. Aaron, do you want to describe yourself?
So I am, due to recent circumstances, not wearing what I would normally choose to be wearing. I am in sort of loose-fitting top and pants. I would normally be wearing something much nicer, some robes, but... as I said, recent circumstances have left me in this new clothing that is not my style at all, but I'm making the best of it. I've got my hair down for the first time in several years, and in a long kind of Dutch braid wrapped around my head, and generally just displeased with the situation I've found myself in.
All right.
Zach is going to quickly Google what a Dutch braid is.
Elsa.
Majestic.
Is it the double braid or a single braid?
It's a single braid. It's like a braid on, but it protrudes more than it is flat.
Okay. Much more than a French braid.
A round braid.
Okay. Sorry. I was like, Dutch braid. Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. That was the thing I described the most, so enjoy.
So you see this woman before you. She is sitting, not looking thrilled about her scenario. And the Pixies, have faded away. You are revealed. And Gerald says, well, it's been a minute, Queen. You look a little bit worse for wear.
I'll kneel to her. I just do it out of respect for royalty.
Thank you.
Gerald kind of bumps you over. He's like, we don't bow to this one, friend.
Patricia's like mid-curtsy.
This is a queen, no?
Yes, it is a queen.
But even when I'm bowed, I'm looking down at Gerald.
Well, then we should bow to a queen. I mean, this is how this is the way we must do things.
We did not do that to King Arthur.
This crew seems to have a better understanding of what we should be doing right now.
Well, Queen, last I checked, I believe you were deposed by your stepdaughter, the true queen, and locked away in a dungeon tower, if I don't remember incorrectly.
I'm confused.
I don't see a dungeon now.
Is her name? Is your name Queen?
You may call me Queen.
Okay. Queen.
Okay.
Queenie. That's the name of the episode. You may call me Queen.
You may call me Queen. Your Highness works.
Also, Harrison did say dungeon tower, so I don't...
prison dungeon tower. It is a dungeon tower, so yes, it's still
accurate. Tower, like I mean, what is Rapunzel in?
The mechanics tower? Of it. The mechanics of it are confusing, but I was in a tower.
And a dungeon.
And a dungeon.
Aesthetically dungeon.
She didn't walk. She walked downstairs, but somehow was at the top of the tower. It was like one of those like.
But it had great. Illusions.
It was it's like an Escher.
Yes, the aesthetics of a dungeon, the height of a tower.
There we go.
Just want to say,
absolutely,
I mean, it's fair.
It's like the penthouse of dungeons.
And Gerald, this is your queen.
Gerald has his arms crossed heavily, and he says, "Oh no, this isn't my queen. This is the." Stepmother of the true queen, who she tried to kill and murder, and we overthrew from the throne. But sure, she was a queen at one point.
I take issue with that entire description. I believe true queen is up for debate here. I just wholeheartedly do not agree with the statement of who, in fact, the true queen is, as you have stated.
She's the queen mother.
Oh.
Yes, I mean, aristocracies
are complicated. Oh, that's a fun
name.
I'm sure she'd love that, too.
Queen Mother. You may call me Queen Mother.
Let's not call me Queen Mother. Thank you so much.
As you wish.
Your Majesty.
Acceptable.
Tell us again how you, very sorry for your situation, how you ended up in this very sorry for your situation.
Thank you ever so much. There was a bit of an incident. We can get into that later. I was relocated to aesthetically a dungeon, but physically a tower against my will.
Thank you.
And the huntsman, Dear Humbert, had a lapse in loyalty, but he had decided that my punishment was a tad too extreme and came to free me from my predicament. He was otherwise engaged at the moment, and I saw my chance, leapt from the tower, and found myself in this forest.
What a magnificent leap.
Indeed. And Gerald, you saw it fit that she could be the one that would help us through this perilous venture.
Well, unfortunately, most of my experience in this fair kingdom is spent digging in the mines and working at my brother's shop, so the one or two visits I had to the castle don't give me the experience I suspect we would need to infiltrate such a defense.
In the mines.
Gerald, you also said earlier when you described this woman, you said that she was an evil queen? And evil seems like a strong word to use in these circumstances.
She tried to poison her own daughter.
I'm stepdaughter at best.
Context is everything.
Listen, it was not necessarily a lethal poison. I just needed to take her out of the equation temporarily. It was a status thing. You have to do what you have to do. Family is tough. You all understand, I'm sure.
Sure.
Family is very tough, that is for sure.
Gerald just glares. Well, why don't I ask you this, there, Queen? Why'd the pixies have you trapped?
They're pixies.
I've been through a rather traumatic experience, which I've just outlined. I've leapt from a tower of unknown height. I've made my way into a forest. I am not... It was really rough. Let's be real here. It was very rough. I found myself in a rather weakened state, and I came upon this group of fairies, and I thought, recognizing me as the noble person that I am, they would be willing to share some of their magical ability to get me back on my feet. Turns out, they didn't quite agree with my plan, and hence the fog.
Do pixies need a reason to trick anybody? I don't think so. The pixies.
The pixies, they float down, kind of angrily bobbing, and they say, "She tried to steal our powers, true. She attacked our people, so away we flew."
I need you to know exactly how long I've been here and exactly how infuriating it is to listen to these little creatures speak. This is it, all the time.
And they say, "Take this one and leave this place. Never again will we see your face."
I would happily leave.
But
I offer my hand
to the queen.
Ready to leave.
I take the hand.
I've enjoyed their little couplets.
Well, that makes one of us, Patricia, because these pixies have been, if I would say riding my last nerve, but that nerve has been rode a long time ago.
I like to imagine in a different scenario that I could find these little couplets charming, but as you might imagine, being here for several days, and this is the only interaction I get, I am more than ready to take my leave of this cave.
The pixies bob angrily.
Yeah, back at ya.
Gerald says, "Well, we have her here. Is there anything else you guys need from this cave, or are we good to get out of here?"
I look at the pixies and say,
"Is there any gold?"
And though your rhymes are endearing, no longer will we be hearing.
Wow.
And that's recorded forever.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, it's brilliant.
I take my hand out of Smythe's hand at that.
It seems like we have broken your hold. Now, would you like to leave us with some gold? Pixies.
Damn it, Devin. They don't give you anything.
They only take.
Cheap. Cheap.
Cheap.
I can't think of a rhyme for hospitality. So, dear Pixies,
horse brutality.
Horse brutality, of course. Well, Gerald, you asked us if there's anything else we need. You must tell us, is there anything else in here worth our time aside from our new traveler friend?
I mean, he looks around and there's a few bobbing lights and he says, Pixies, you guys know there's a lot of trouble out there. Any wise words?
It did not seem like they knew that. It seemed like they were focused on trapping random people who are coming here to ask for help to deal with the situation outside.
I said
in a Russian accent.
Pixies, we do not care for another fight, but could you share some fair insight?
Okay, that was good. They hover around you and they speak in your mind, because that's how pixies speak.
The Master Mirror has power grand, but that power is not of this land.
Okay, so the Master Mirror, he is Langmore. We know this.
The pixies bob left and right to what you say, Marina.
I said this man is Langmore. We know this.
And
the Master of the Mirror, he is the Master
you.
Of the Langmore.
He
is not agreeing with me, the pixies?
They are not agreeing with you.
From Fuck what does pixies. This power thrive? Pixies. What keeps this magic alive?
And they say,
"A gift from one as foul as she."
And they point to her, to the queen, and they say,
"Remove this boon, set the world free."
And then they wink out of existence.
So, Gerald, we defer to you. What sort of boon is the? What sort of boon is holding them
boon,
captive?
I mean,
gotta be the rose. Boon.
In my boon, the word means gift. I mean, a gift, I guess.
Well, if we're
the
talking
stranger.
If we're talking of gifts, there was quite the celebration at the castle right before all of this animated housewares nonsense began. The Snow White's wedding celebration was happening, and there were lots of gifts being given. I imagine it was one of those.
I mean, unfortunately, as I have to say, I'd agree with the queen.
Unfortunately, I've given you accurate information and you have to agree. How terrible
okay,
it must be to be you, Gerald.
Yeah.
Gerald's wrong again.
The queen's right. I think maybe it's one of the gifts they received during the ceremony.
Okay, tell me. I have a question then. were there any of the guests at this party that did not seem like they were supposed to be at this party?
Well, I think we talked about that earlier. There was a man in robes similar to yours.
Who brought a rose.
Dropped off that magical rose.
That's got to be the Boon Rose.
But he left. I mean, he left the castle. He's not here anymore.
But he left the rose, too, didn't he?
Or is he?
And he left the rose, yeah. That
the call is coming from inside the house.
The call is inside the house.
He says, well, what I get from this is we got to get back into that castle.
I think we first need to get out of this cave.
I would wholeheartedly agree.
Not a bad idea. All right, and Gerald starts headed back down the path you came. You see that the cave, it seems the pixies have vanished to some ethereal realm. So the cave loses kind of all of its magical properties and now just appears to be like a wet, drippy cave. But Gerald leads the way. You can see like he's kind of trying to be, you know, in the previous episode, Gerald had some trouble with his fog illusion. So you can see he's kind of... I'm okay. Everything's fine. You see that time seems to have shifted further than you expected. Light is streaming into the cave. It seems like it's probably about high noon. The sun is high in the sky, and it's very straining on your eyes as you approach the mouth of the cave. But let me do something real quick. So Gerald is walking towards the mouth of the cave, and you hear a... and he looks down... and an arrow has shot him in the chest.
What the fuck?
Gerald goes, and stumbles back. And he's like, shit. And you look out into the clearing ahead of you, and you see standing on top of that rock, that large boulder, is one of the huntsmen that had been at the bar.
The pixies sold us out.
And your eyes adjust, and you see standing on the high rock is the huntsman that you saw at the tavern. And the huntsman kind of stretches his arms. You notice his hands are empty. He has no bow in his hands. And he says, rumor had it that a deposed queen had taken refuge in these woods, but I never expected she would sully herself with fey folk. Truly how the mighty have fallen, eh, Queenie?
That will be absolutely enough of that. Step down from there right now and know your place.
Oh, I think you should know that there's quite the bounty on your head. That's the place that you stand at. Master Mir would do anything to get you back.
Would he now?
And he wouldn't mind getting the full set of those dwarves' heads on a spike, so why don't we take him in with us, too? Huh? What are you thinking there, buddy?
I step in front of Gerald.
I step in front of William.
Gerald has fallen
back.
Gerald takes a little bit of damage, but he's got a lot. He only takes 3 damage, okay, so good. He's fine. But he pulls the thing out. There's a little bit of blood. He throws the arrow to the side and he says, we don't have any quarrel with you, huntsman. Just let us pass. And he says, I have no quarrel with those strangers you're with, but I do have quarrel with the two of you. Strangers, feel free to leave. But if you decide to stay and protect these fools, this deposed queen and this... helpless dwarf, then we'll be forced to take your lives along with them. The sign just said, bring them back. Didn't say alive.
We won't be going anywhere. She pulls out her rapier.
And I ready my bow with my green arrow.
He kind of just like waves his fingers in the air and says, your funeral. And you hear arrows whistling through the air as we go into combat. So you guys can see this is like the little courtyard that's outside the Pixie's cave. There's a large boulder. The red spot is where the guy is standing. The people that were in the tavern, you'll know that you originally saw this huntsman with three other individuals, but currently he seems to be alone, but arrows are flying through the air. So you suspect his allies are hidden within the bushes. So how this combat is going to work in general is you can attempt to attack the bushes to hopefully hit one of them on a guess that maybe they're within the bush. If they are, you'll have disadvantage on the attack no matter what because you don't know if they're in there for sure and they have cover. But you can attempt a You can also use your turn to attempt an investigation check to determine, or a perception check to determine if they are in the bush. If you successfully get it right, then they're revealed and they'll have to go hide again, and there will be no disadvantage on their attack. They won't have advantage on their attack, and you won't have a disadvantage on attacking them. So you can attempt perception checks to find the people that are hidden, or you can just target the one guy that's on his own. So that's kind of the thing. So how to start this out? We're going to roll initiative to start.
I got a 9 for Smythe.
Ooh, that was a nat 20.
Oh, wow.
I have a 19. Well, Patricia.
And the queen has a 14.
The queen.
Okay.
Das queen.
Das queen.
We're going to start at the top of the order. You guys are in partial cover because you're in the cave. But if you move out into the main field, you will obviously be subjecting yourself to potential attack. But Marina, how do you want to start things off?
Okay. I'm going to start off with a basting beam.
Okay.
These are
so
five.
So to do ranged attacks on any of the targets that are above the wall, you'll have to move out of the cave, just as a note.
So the only ones that are available to me would be J, I, K, and L?
In the main dude. Yeah, that's in front of you. The red dot.
I'm going to shoot that red dot.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a 17 plus 2, 19 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. So that would be a 1 total
one damage.
Yep, I rolled a snake eyes.
But don't
actually,
you
it's 2, I guess.
So it's 2, yeah.
And okay. Then one of them, and so it's cold. 2 cold damage.
Okay. So you blast, you pull out your weaving needles, and as you weave the yarn together, it becomes this orb of blue energy, and it blasts a beam that hits him in the chest. And he says,
it's a little cold.
And he says, oh, geez.
It's chilly.
I'm real nervous about this. Brushes the cold off of him. And he doesn't
wait,
seem
wait,
too
that was
phased.
My nat 20.
What's that?
And that's all I get from my nat 20.
Yep. Patricia, your turn.
I'm going to move to the J bush, assuming I can't get to like D or E.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have no range at all. I have nothing. So, yeah, I just have an idea, but I don't know if it'll work. So we'll see. I'm just going
to
move.
So you move over to the J bush, and you're going to hold your action or just hang out?
So we know there are other individuals here. He has, like, beckoned to the other.
You saw that he has not fired at. He has no bow equipped, so it's likely that someone else shot that arrow, and there's these bushes that people could be hiding in.
Okay. I mean, can I sneak attack on the bush? Just to...
Sure. You'll have disadvantage since you're attacking potentially an obscured target if there's anyone in there, but why don't you roll and see what you get?
Okay. You can roll for perception to see if you find anybody, right?
Well, that would be your full action, though, to do the perception.
So it's going to be an 18 total to...
And that's with disadvantage?
Yeah, I rolled a 16 and a 14.
Okay, 18. You plunge your dagger in as you sneak over,
mm-hmm.
and you hear someone go, ugh!
Oh, sick.
Jam your dagger into one. Ugh, you lucky nice. Punk!
Yeah, I'm going to do 1d8 for my rapier damage, and then 1d6 for my sneak attack.
Sure.
Is that correct?
Plus your dexterity for the rapier.
And proficiency with rapier? Don't I have proficiency
nope.
with all...
Proficiency doesn't get added to damage. It just... You only add the ability.
Okay. It's 11 damage.
You sink your rapier into the bush and you feel like resistance as you stab into someone and that you hear... Ugh! And you have found one of the people. So
you sank his battleship.
Pop up and fall back. There is a guy.
I just whisper to him, like, I'm so sorry, but you shot first.
This is fair. Okay. I didn't expect you to find one so fast.
Oh, can I like, convince him? Like, please, just get out of here. We don't want to hurt anyone.
He says, I'll kill you! And
pulls
your rapier out of his chest. Queen, you're up.
And he hurts his hand and gets another D2 of
He's damage. Got a leather glove on.
Okay. Some light armor. Bullshit.
I would like to cast Ice Knife on the main guy on the boulder.
Oh, okay. Sure.
That's a 15 to hit.
That does hit him.
That is 8 damage.
Okay.
And then he has to make a dexterity saving throw. Has right, to get to a 13. Yeah.
The exploding ice knife. He did succeed, but he'll take half damage from the explosion. So you can roll your damage and we'll just cut it in half.
Okay.
Also, congratulations on your first attack.
Yay!
Thank you. That is 6 half to 3.
Okay, so 6 half to 3. So you did 8 damage and
another
3, so 11 total. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's in the midst of brushing off like the cold beam that Marina sent a very little, and as he like brushes his hand down, a knife goes funk into his chest. It's like, and it explodes as he rolls back, like rips it out, and it explodes in the air, and shards of glass cut against him. He's like, shit! And he rolls back and is like, okay, all right. Boys, maybe we should take care of these people a little faster. So he's up next, actually, so he's going to try and do just that. So from his back, he's going to pull out his bow that he does have one. He just didn't have it equipped. And he's going to take a shot at... He gets 2 shots. So he's going to take his first shot at Patricia because she moved out the furthest. And then he'll take his second shot at Queen, but he'll have disadvantage.
I don't have any, like, stealth yet as a rogue. It is just... Damn. He sees me.
All right. He fires his first shot. Ooh, Patricia, nat 20 against you.
Patricia's going down 100%. There's no way.
And then against Queen with disadvantage... he got a, let me double check his hit, a 14 against your AC.
Exactly hits.
Exactly hits. Okay. So Patricia, you're going to take some damage first.
Can I reduce the damage? Can I?
You can reduce the damage.
I'm scared for Patricia.
I think she's within, is she within 30 feet of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're okay. So yeah, you can reduce her damage using your reaction. Yeah, go ahead and roll your side die, and then I'll tell you the final value.
I rolled a 4 plus, and I get plus intelligence, so it's 6.
Okay, so Patricia, you instead of taking 10 damage, take only 4 damage, as Smythe lashes out with his mind energy and catches the arrow and slows it as it stabs into your shoulder. Queen, He does not stop it. Queen, you take 7 damage as the arrow catches you solidly in the shoulder. You do notice Smythe uses energy to save the other person.
I could only do 1.
I see. I understand where your allegiance
noted.
Is lie.
Yeah, the woman he's known for 7 days compared to the woman he's known for 7 days.
Okay. He's known Patricia longer. You guys worked at the place together. And then as a movement and cunning action, the assassin is going to slide down like the stone thing near him, and he's going to use a hide action behind this where no one would have view of him. So I'm going to give him a stealth roll. And so how that works now is if you guys search for him, you have to beat his stealth with a perception check to find him. So he has slipped away into the shadows. Yeah. He slips down out of view because he took a lot of damage and he's scared. Okay, next up is Smythe. What do you want to do?
I'm going to...
So you know that Patricia has found one at Jay, and she stabbed him, so he is revealed. But then for the other ones, you don't know where they are.
I'm going to just press my luck. I'm going to notch my au revoir, the arrow, and aim at A.
Okay. Smite, to do so, you'll have to move out of the cave.
Oh, okay. I run forward then.
Okay, so you fire your arrow, roll an attack.
All right, cool. 17 plus 5 is 22.
It with disadvantage, because
okay.
If there's a target there, they're heavily
obscured. Well, 15 plus 5 is 20.
Yes. You fire the arrow in there, and it flies through the bush, but it doesn't seem to find purchase.
Well, I say, au revoir, and then it comes back to me, right?
Yeah, the arrow back into your hand, but it appears there's no blood on it. It did not hit anything.
All right, well, I say, shit, and then I say, hey, Queenie, and then I have like a leather, my little leather vest on, right?
Sure.
Just want to give it to her to have a little added protection.
Oh, you can't take your armor off that vest.
Damn. I tried, but it won't seem to come off.
A thoughtful thing, but it's a lot of straps and buckles, and you wouldn't be able to do it in 6 seconds.
Just
what
do the most
is it you're doing over there, futzing with all
stripping of
your buckles?
He says, queen, and he starts pulling his clothes off.
It's like
in the middle of this
I thought
field.
It was a vest. You said it was like a duster.
Me and the guy and Jay are like, what the fuck?
What
like,
an interesting fellow.
Literally just trying to give her my little duster.
Okay, the archers are going to take their shots, and then one's going to attack Patricia with a short sword. But they're going to take shots at Patricia and Smythe, since you're out in the open, and they want to have disadvantage on you. Two arrows fly through the air, 18 to hit Smythe.
Cool.
And then a 19 to hit Patricia?
Yes, 19 hits.
Both of you take 5 damage. As arrows blast out of location B, a guy pops up from bush B, and a guy pops up from bush D, and they fire arrows.
B and D.
So B and D have people in them. They'll have to use their next turn to hide again. So they are revealed. And then the last one's going to make a short sword attack against you, Patricia. No perfect special advantage. He's like,
perfect.
Get out of here. He got a 23 to hit.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
And then he's going to deal 5 more damage as he slashes you with his short sword. All right. Gerald's going to pop to his feet, and he is going to charge out there. And Gerald's now going to activate his class because he is a barbarian.
Yeah.
And Gerald's going to rage. So, Gerald enters a rage, which is a barbarian ability. So he has advantage on strength checks. He gets +2 melee damage with strength weapons. He's resistant to all physical damage. And he also is a path of the berserker, is his thing. So, he's going to go frenzy. So all of his attacks count as a bonus action, meaning he can attack twice. So he is going to charge angrily out of the cave. He says, what do you say about my brothers? And he charges out of the cave and runs over to where there is a man at Jay, and he's going to make 2 attacks against him with a +5 to hit. A 24 and a 12, which will miss. So he hits with the 24. He wields his weapon with 2 hands, which gives him a 1d10, his pickaxe, and he gets a +5 to his damage. He got 15 damage. Okay, so he puts a pickaxe through the archer's skull, and his eyes are like red with fury as he swings his heavy pickaxe, smashes it through the guy's skull, and like wrenches it out, and the guy falls to the ground. And he looks up at where the archers just poked out, who are like eyes wide, and he's like, you're next. And so that's Gerald's turn. Marina, you're up again.
Well, that was very violent.
So Marina, people have been revealed at B and D, but to get to them, you will to shoot that. Them without disadvantage, you'll have to leave the cave.
Well, it is okay. I'm just going to continue to knit on my project over here for my little Nikolai, and I am going to knit just a little piece that works for somebody else. Who's got hurt the most so far?
Patricia.
Who's out in the field, but also Queen has taken some damage.
Yeah, I'm at 4.
Patricia then, I guess. I'm within 30 feet of her. Of Patricia, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got, I've just done for you a got your back stitch. So you have +1 to your AC and advantage on strength checks equal to your wisdom modifier. Or I guess actually that'd probably be mine.
Yeah, it's your wisdom modifier.
Which is 3. So
on the next 3 strength checks, you have advantage.
plus a bump in your AC.
All right, plus a bump in AC. So Marina twists together a little backstitch, and it shoots a little like aura that wraps itself around Patricia. So Patricia, you feel a little bit safer, more protected, and stronger, I guess. But Patricia, you're up, actually. So you're next. You see Gerald pulls his pickaxe out, and he says, "Let's get them all." And his eyes are wild with fury, but he's like hunting around for others.
I don't know if I should heal myself because I am very low. You've taken out 2/3 of my health. Or do I just... yeah, it's boring, but I... No, fuck it. I'll just...
I can heal you next time around.
I thought that's what you were doing this past round. I was like, oh, cool, I heal. Nope. I was like, that's a buff. That's cool, too. So I will reach into my purse. So my purse changes with everything. So is it like a messenger bag or like a rucksack
or
something?
Yeah, we'll say it's a messenger bag. We'll say you have a leather messenger bag.
Cool. I'm going to pull out something that I didn't really have to use last arc and pull out my pepper spray, which we have classed as poison spray. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to spray it at the D bush. Now, poison spray, it's 10-foot range, which I think I mean, it's an 8-foot wall, but like he's in D and he was just looking at me to shoot me with an arrow. So I feel like he was near me. Is that okay?
I mean, you have advantage on strength checks. You could scramble up there and blast him.
Yeah, then that would give him disadvantage on like bow attacks. Because I'm right in front of him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he'd probably go after you with a short sword, but he wouldn't be able to hide again.
Well, because... short sword's like 1d6, 1d8,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can survive.
Yeah. Probably. Given the buff that I just got from Marina, Patricia will just scramble up the wall.
Okay.
Knowing that Jay Bush is dead, just got his skull bashed in. She wanted him to leave.
It's quite brutal.
She'll scramble up the wall. I guess I'll just do the strength check there.
Just give me an athletics check with advantage.
Athletics. Well, that was a 2 on the first one, and 19 on the second. Athletics plus 2. Do I get a plus 3 to the from what Devin gave me? Or
no, he gives you advantage. He gave you advantage.
Oh, I thought he said it was a plus 3 on strength.
No, a number of times equal to his wisdom modifier. So for the next 3 strength checks, you have advantage.
Okay, then it's just a 21 to get up the wall.
Yeah, I mean you since you had a lower roll the first time, you stumble a little bit, but then like. The energy from his stitch like roots you into the wall, and you're able to like climb up the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And you climb up, and you see the archer is there, like having just fired his arrow at you, and he's like, "Grr!" I don't know. He's mad.
He says, "Grr!"
He says, "Grr!"
And I just say to him, like, "You need to go." And I spray him with my pepper spray, my poison spray.
They make a Constitution saving throw.
Yes. I'm sorry. I scrolled down too far.
They got a 4.
Okay, so they take 1d12 of damage.
Yep, 1d12 poison damage. Just spray this guy with poison. Well, pepper spray.
Am I adding anything to this?
Nope.
I didn't think so. That's an 11.
All right. Very good damage. So you blast him with poison spray, and he's... coughing and trying to get it cleared out of his face as Queen takes her turn. What you got?
Awesome. So to hit the guy in B, I need to be up on the wall.
You at least have to be out of the cave because the cave limits your ability to shoot. So as long as
I just have to step out.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. I would like to step out and cast Firebolt on B.
Okay.
Is she within range?
It's 120 feet.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah, I can shoot super far.
It's a 16 to hit.
That hits. So 1d10 damage.
2.
All right, 2 damage. You shoot a little... You're still recovering your powers. You shoot a little blast from your fingers, and it hits him, and he's like, But then he's like, oh, wait, that wasn't really anything.
Would it set the bush on fire?
It's not powerful enough to do that. It's like a... fresh living bush, like to fully set it on fire. It's not dry.
Sure.
You know, it's a little ember. But no, you blast him, do a little damage. The assassin that is hidden is going to take his turn.
Perfect.
And he's going to take two shots at Smythe and Queen, since you are the most directly in his line of sight. 19 and a nat 20 against Smythe. So a 19 against Queen and a nat 20 against Smythe.
Fucker.
So Smythe for damage. Oh my god. You take 4. You got snake eyes.
Absolutely.
And then Queen for damage. You take 3 because he got another 1. I rolled 3 ones.
Yay.
Pretty bad assassin.
Oh darn.
And he reveals himself. He is an L. So he pops up from the bush L to fire those shots.
That was the guy that was on the rocket initially, right?
Yeah, he's moved over to L. He's going to use his bonus action to like duck down into the bushes, so he's obscured, so you'll still have disadvantage on targeting him, but you know where he is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so he ducks down in the bush. Right, cool. Smythe, you're up.
Why not my arrow then? The arrow. And I got a 14 plus 5. I got a 19 to attack him with.
The assassin?
Yeah. L. Sorry. Yeah, I was targeting L.
Did you do it with disadvantage since he's
high
in the bush?
Oh, damn it. No. Okay, a 12 plus 5. 17.
You still hit.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. And 1d8 plus 3. An 8! 11 damage.
Oof. You hit him with 11 damage. He and like falls out of the bush a little bit because he got hit so hard. And he is not looking great, but he's still up. So next up is the archers again. Oh, Patricia. Let's see how this sword attack goes against you. Oh, he got a 2. Okay.
Aww. So
the smoke in the air, he swings wide and totally misses you. The other one, since he's been relatively unfazed, is going to take a shot. He will shoot Gerald just because he saw him put the pickaxe through his friend's head and he's concerned.
Who is shooting? Excuse me?
The archer.
From?
That's in B, the B archer. And he fails anyway.
B so, archer?
The B archer.
Wouldn't he have disadvantage anyway because of the 8-foot thing in his way?
Theoretically.
Theoretically.
Yeah, that's fair. But he still failed. Okay. So,
sorry.
He's just stressed out. So he fires, misses, and he's going to use his movement to just move to bush F just to keep moving around.
Sure.
So there's an archer in F now. But he doesn't have a bonus action to hide, so he can't do that. So after the archers, it's Gerald. He is going to charge up the cliff after you, Patricia, to yet again murder the thing that you've weakened.
Sure.
So he gets a 18 to climb the hill, which he does easily, just like pickaxing his way up the hill as the archer's like kind of noticing him coming. And he's going to swing a nat 20. Oh god.
Okay, so he's got
bye rip.
So he actually didn't roll great on his attack, but the guy didn't have much health left. He only got 7 damage. But the guy only had 5 HP left, so again, he uppercuts him with the pickaxe, sending the pickaxe straight into his head, and launching the guy into the air. Another one down, and he just like looks at you and then just gets ready to storm off the cliff after the others. So,
and she just looks very wide-eyed and a little panicked, and quietly goes, "Thank you."
He says, "It's fine." Marina, you're up again.
Okay. So when this... I'm going to... How close am I to Patricia?
25 feet.
Okay, I'm going to knit just a little thing for Patricia's arm to make her better. When it says medicine check, I do a medicine check? Who does a medicine
you
check?
You do here? A medicine check. You do the medicine check.
So it says So DC equals targets missing HP minus the wisdom modifier.
I am currently missing 14 HP.
So 11. So okay, beat that. So on a successful check, it's 1d8 plus wisdom for health. So that would be 5 plus 3, 8 plus 8 to your HP, Patricia.
So is that your weave a new ability?
Duh.
Yeah. So Devin has that ability to heal. I think he can use it a couple times for a long rest. All right. So Marina like pulls out some thread and does like a crisscross applesauce pattern and just kind of, and the green energy flows over you, Patricia, and some of your wounds close up a little bit. Stop bleeding out so bad.
Patricia looks over at Marina and says, "Many thanks, comrade." So Patricia is going to attempt something, I guess. I'm going to sheath my rapier.
Okay.
And pick up the bow and arrow. Is it a crossbow or a bow and arrow that D person had?
Oh, he would have a short bow.
Okay, I'll pick up his short bow.
You wrench it from his cold, dead fingers. You do so.
I assume he had dropped it by that point because he tried to stab me with a sword.
Yeah.
He probably didn't have a bow and a sword in his hand. And I'm going to make my way around the rim of the sort of 8-foot wall that we're on. And I'm going to hopefully fire a shot at L.
Okay, so you're gonna shoot the assassin, the main bad guy.
Is short bow range like...
It's like 60 feet to 120 feet, so okay. You're fine.
Okay, I will trust you.
You're definitely within range.
Okay, it says 80 to 320 feet, apparently.
Yeah, there's a rule about like if you're too close, you're not...
Yeah.
You know, but it's fine. You're good. So yeah, just go ahead and take your shot.
Okay, so yeah, I'm just going to take my shot. What am I rolling with? Is it another dexterity?
D20 plus dex. Yep.
17.
That is a hit.
Okay, 17. And it's just 1d6.
Plus your dexterity. Yep.
3 plus 2, it's 5. 5 damage.
5 damage. Another arrow slams into his shoulder as he's still reeling from being hit by Smythe. He's still up, but he's... very hurt.
Can I flavor it just a little bit? Like, Patricia grabs the bow and arrow from Bush D. She runs past E, does like a little tumble on the ground, pulls back, shoots. And it looks great.
Her training with Legolas when she was in The Lord of the Rings, as we previously discussed.
I don't know that we discussed it on this one. I think that might have been the prime era.
Was that the previous record?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, this would have been from her, like, her sort of stunt training on Girl from Uncle, first premiering in 1991.
We're back at it. Queen, you're up.
Excellent. I would like to move forward as much as I can, like towards that boulder.
Okay.
And then I would like to cast Witch Bolt on L. I think I can get close enough to be within range.
Yeah. This should be in range, 5, 10, 15, 20. Yeah, you're in range.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. So black cackling lightning crackles between your fingertips, and you cast a Witch Bolt.
Awesome. 17 to hit.
Oh, my God. Yep, that hits.
And then 1d12, right?
1d12.
That was a 10.
Oh, boy. Well, he did not have that much HP left. He had 9 HP left, so... You whip out this black lightning whip that lashes him around the neck, and he's like, "There will be more of me. You're not going to get away." And what do you do to finish him, I guess? Or do you have any final words for this assassin?
As previously stated, know your place.
And then you twist your fingers, and he collapses to the ground.
Oh, boy.
And he's gone off the board. So now there is just one more archer who is holding in there on his own.
We don't know where he is right now, right?
No, you do. He's in F.
F, okay.
He's moved to the bush over there, but he hasn't had a chance to hide again. So there is still one archer at F that you can see from your point of view.
I would like to then run to the rock. Cool, I'm going to climb up there. I'm going to aim at F.
Okay, give me a strength and an athletics check.
Yeah, so I have a 16.
Yeah, you scramble up there, no problem, and you notch your arrow.
All right, and then I fire away. I got a 14 to hit.
That hits.
Awesome. 1d8 plus 3. I got a 6 plus 3, so a 9, and I say, au revoir!
9. He is still standing, but he is very hurt.
Don't kill him.
The arrow stabs into his shoulder and disappears as au revoir returns to your quiver. You yell out, "Don't kill him," but then Gerald's gonna go.
Oh, Gerald! Gerald, don't!
I don't think he can make it to him anyway, because Gerald doesn't have great movement. So he scrambles down 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. 30's his limit. But he can do a sprint and then do it as a bonus action. If he can make it, he's going to attempt.
Of course.
So 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. What's the range of a thrown weapon?
Like 20 feet.
Depends on who's throwing it. Marina, a foot.
A single
Let me look
foot.
This up real quick.
It rolls out to my hand.
Yeah, she drops it.
If you make the weapon with a ranged attack, if you the weapon is a melee weapon, you use the same modifier that attack roll and damage roll that you'd use for the melee. For example, if you throw a hand axe, you use your strength. Okay. An improvised thrown weapon has a normal range of 20 feet and a long range of 60 feet that he could do at disadvantage. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. So he's going to have disadvantage, but he's going to throw his pickaxe. Like, hands overhead, just like whip his pickaxe at this guy. He got a 9 plus 3 plus 2, making it a 14. It hits, he may deal enough damage to kill him. I don't think there's a way he couldn't. He deals 5 damage minimum, and this guy had 5 HP.
Yeah.
So you yell, "Don't!" And he, whoop, 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 and this pickaxe, shunk, into the guy's throat. Guy goes down on the ground.
Oh.
And all the enemies have been killed. And Gerald is just standing there like,
take
a breath, Gerald. Yeah. Take a breath.
Combat has ended. The last of them collapsed to the ground. This pickaxe stabbing into the last person. Gerald kind of just falls to the ground, breathing heavy.
Gerald, dear, you very much appreciate your efforts, but you were all high and mighty, calling me the evil queen earlier, and yet you drove your pickaxe into a man's skull, swung up, beheaded another, and just chucked your pickaxe through this man's throat a moment ago.
He turns to you and he says, "You try losing people you actually care about, queen." And he turns away.
Whatever. I'll take the rage. This is extremely helpful.
He punches the stone wall and you see like cracks form on the wall and he just leaves a little blood from his knuckles and storms away.
How could they have known we were even coming here that the queen was? How did they know that the queen was here? They came here searching for a bounty, but the bounty wasn't on Gerald or either of us.
I mean, we knew the queen was here.
The queen was the bounty, I thought.
How do they know she was here?
The huntsmen, however disloyal they are good huntsmen. So I
thought
imagine
they were just looking and happened upon it.
They must have tracked us through the woods when they left the bar. They probably followed us after the bar.
How long has or was the queen in the cave?
A couple of days.
Okay. So I didn't know she was there for like months or something. And how did Gerald know she was in there?
Rumors in the woods.
He lives in the woods.
Classic rumors of the woods.
Oh, are you asking
the neighbors,
actually?
The animals?
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Gerald, how did you know the queen was in the cave?
Travelers passed. They said that they saw a woman with raven black hair traipsing about the enchanted wood. I know there's only one font of magic in this wood, so it doesn't take a genius to guess that she's probably looking for the pixies.
She would naturally be drawn there. That's fair.
Beautiful hair, by the way.
Thank you ever so much.
And he says, "Well, I mean, I'm sorry if I went a little crazy. They call me Grumpy as a nickname. And I guess, you know, maybe it sticks."
Oh.
I quit. I'm out
of
here.
We all have our bad days.
Yeah. And he goes and rips his pickaxe out of the guy's chest. And he says, yeah, we all have our bad days, as he pulls it out.
I like the name Jerry instead of Grumpy. How about that?
Let's just stick with Gerald.
Okay. All right, Grumpy.
Well, Gerald, what is the plan here? What are we doing?
Patricia, as you're saying that, you give me a perception check. Everyone can do this. Gerald's busy wiping stuff off his pickaxe.
I got a 5.
Stuff.
I also got a 5.
16.
Blood in my eyes.
Unnatural 20 for Shagirl.
Ooh.
With that unnatural 20, Patricia, you see a large plume of smoke coming from the direction you came from when you came towards this area.
Me specifically? That the collective you.
That the collective group came from.
The royal we.
Do you all see that smoke? Where is that coming from?
Gerald looks up and realizes the direction. He says, oh God. And he takes off running.
It's the pixies.
Towards the smoke. No, Gerald. You guys just came from the pixies. So Gerald takes off running down the wood path, the woods path. Do you guys give pursuit?
Gerald?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose we should follow him.
We should follow him. Yeah.
Can I send a message?
With no warning.
Oh boy. Can I try something really quick with Marina?
Sure.
Okay, I have a message cantrip. I can. I just got to.
Yeah,
look
we say you
up.
Just wiggle your eyebrows. Is your messaging method?
Hold on. I guess possibly, but hold on one second. I could try something else.
Are you gonna do finger dancing?
No.
Winks. Like Lucille Bluth.
Yeah.
Extremely exaggerated.
Oh, he's learning Russian.
He's God damn it. Yeah, he's learning Russian. I look back at her and I say, Sledita Zani. And that
which means
Devin knows.
Yeah.
It means keep an eye on her in Russian.
Oh, okay.
Because we've just released her from a prison, and now we're just running away from that prison, and she has no reason to chill with us, really. Like, why would she? So, Sledita Ani, and both Zach and Patricia's bad Russian.
So, a strange gibberish comes out of Patricia's mouth. Queen, you detect that she's probably crazy. And I guess you guys give chase. After Gerald, you come to the same clearing where you rested, not just the evening before, and the entire tree house is up in flames.
No.
And Gerald is kind of just on his knees in front of his burning home.
Oh no!
What a beautiful home. And it's your house.
And you see, coming out from behind the tree, kind of dancing around, giggling, you see the man with the mirrored eyes, and he says, you're all gonna see the light, you're all gonna see the light, oh, it's so beautiful, you're gonna see the light. And he's dancing around the flames.
This is the man who sprayed spray paint into his eyes, so you know, let's not trust anything he's saying.
He's been huffing paint.
Queen, you recognize this like mirrored eye look as what happened when you were in the prison tower when the person you were with got taken over. So these are people that are like possessed by
absolutely
the master mirror.
Yeah.
And he's kind of dancing around, and because of doing the rage that I did, frenzy, as Gerald, as a barbarian, he is exhausted. He has one level of exhaustion. So for this, he is truly just, like, too tired to do anything right now. He's just devastated as his home burns.
Understandable.
Yeah. So he's just kind of sitting there exhausted. Is there anything you guys want to do at this moment?
I don't have any water on me, so I can't help him.
The flames are too far gone. You know, even it would take a significant spell, level 2 water spell.
Well, we are in a forest, so we should probably leave this fire. Gerald, you can't stay here.
Yeah, let's.
I'm gonna give Gerald a pat on his back, and I'll say, Gerald, if I had $1 for every time my own home burnt to the ground, I would have many, many dollars. So do not worry.
And
this too shall pass.
If she'd have a family member for every time, she'd have a full family.
At least.
I'm like attempting to like lift him a little bit as he's like sobbing or whatever. Like, Gerald, we can't stay here. This fire, it's going to get out of hand. Gerald, come on. And I'm, yeah.
He just drags himself to his feet and he says, it's okay. It's all gone. It's fine. So let's go.
I say, you weren't living in there anyways.
Silver lining.
Sure. Fair point, Smythe. Why don't we go reconvene at Hi-Ho and we can plan from there.
What'd you call me?
Wow.
The general store.
Is the other guy just like cackling in the background?
Yeah, he's just cackling in the background.
Can we kill him? I'm gonna shoot him. I don't care what you say, I'm gonna shoot my arrow at him.
Okay.
A 15 plus 5, a 20 to hit, an unnatural 20.
That hits.
Alright. Not gonna do much damage to it, but then I might wanna do
great.
4 damage.
Okay, so the arrow thuds into his chest, and he turns and he's like, oh, he's going to make you see the light for sure. And he starts walking towards you, like cackling.
I want to hit him with my psionic die. I want to hit him again.
Yeah. I mean, you can shove your psionic energy.
Okay, 6 plus intelligence.
6 bonus damage? Yeah, oh, well, 6 plus intelligence.
So 8, yeah.
You shove the arrow through him. So with your psionic push, you shove the arrow all the way through.
And I say,
and he falls to his knees and like is still giggling as his body falls lifeless.
Ooh,
I'm uncomfortable. I say au revoir.
Hate that.
I'm still uncomfortable.
And he just stares up at the sky, mirrored eyes shining at the sky.
And we hear one last chuckle as the curtains close.
Yeah. And he collapses.
We need to get out of here.
So
Gerald is like, we should go.
Who is this man that knows your location, knows where your house is, knows to set it on fire?
And he says, he's some drunk at the bar that was mirrored. I don't know how.
Just
these
a general
work.
Drunk? Excellent.
He probably followed us in the same way that the hunters did. I don't know. Can we go to the Hi-Ho? Is everyone ready?
I'm ready.
It's time to drink.
I'm sure the Master Mirror is going to send more coming this way. So let's get out of here.
Do we need to disguise the queen at all before we show up?
I mean, in her current state, she is in like commoner clothes and has like looks pretty messy. And there's like no one in the town anyway, except for
the bartender, who is the only person alive in the town so far as we know. Because we killed all the other occupants.
Sylvie.
At the...
Yeah, there was a bartender. If she's still there, that's a mystery.
No.
So you make your way back to town. The bar is boarded up currently.
Mm-hmm.
So it is unknown what's happened. Hi-Ho is still there. You can tell that it's not been messed with. The door shut just as you left it. Gerald goes in there and kind of slumps into a chair. And just underneath the counter at the cash register, he pulls out a bottle of like dwarven rum. And he grabs like some glasses and pours out some alcohol and just sits back and sips his dwarven rum and stares.
I say to your brothers and I nod at him.
And he nods at you and just kind of sits back.
Thank you. I will have a glass of that. Thank you. I appreciate the offer.
Marina takes a bottle.
I'm going to present him, as I take my glass, I'll present him with the photo of the royal wedding. And we'll also give like a cheers as for your brothers.
I'll say he tears up and he's very thankful that you did that.
I'm sorry we couldn't have done more to save your home.
He said it's okay. It wasn't much of a home anymore anyway.
Fuck.
and he says,
rough.
All right. And he shoots his drink back and he says, with a little bit renewed vigor from getting that photo back, he clacks his glass on the counter and he says, we gotta stop this guy. So what are we gonna do?
We gotta get in the castle. Queenie, you know how to take care of that?
I might know a way back into the castle. There are several paths lesser known by the general castle staff. I think there might be a way we could find entrance.
And it just so happens to be in this store. No.
There's a hatch behind the bar.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, he says, Gerald says, the only options I would have been able to give is, we could go back through the hole that was made, use some rope, something like that, in the tower, prison tower, or our mines do run underneath the castle, so I could dig us a tunnel straight into it, but Queenie would have to direct us from there. There's an option of also finding some secret servant's entrance or something that Queen knows about that we could get into as well. So kind of we got a pick of the litter. So it's kind of what you guys feel most comfortable with as our entry point. I'm going to leave it to be Queen on point for once we get into the castle. I haven't been there very much.
So do we need to go up or down to get back to the dungeon tower?
So the dungeon tower, you travel through the forest. Through the speckled forest, and then you'd find a way up the wall. The queen could do a, could lead you, and we'll talk about it, about the intricacies, but could lead you to a secret entrance of unknown, you know, what level that is of security or whatnot. And then because he is a dwarf that runs the mines, he could use his tools to open up a passage under the castle as well. So those are your three potential entry points, and from there, different things will happen.
I do like the underground approach, and I feel like that would give Gerald his little time to shine.
I'm inclined to agree that the underground approach might be best. My secret entryway is known by my guard, and I have a feeling the likelihood that they've been compromised is great. So I am not the sole person that would be aware of that secret entrance. So Gerald taking the lead in a mining approach would be best.
Anyone else? Thoughts?
I like the underground approach. It sounds doable.
We could also go right through the front door and pretend to be some sort of envoy from another neighboring kingdom looking to trade or something.
You know, Patricia, you are the ones with the acting chops in this group of people.
Go on your own quest.
Yeah, Patricia splits off.
They go underground. I'll go as an envoy from a neighboring kingdom.
You distract them.
A one person envoy.
Splitting the party always goes really well with this group. So
yeah,
especially when there's five people in five different rooms. That's always the best.
Well, Gerald looks over to the locked cases that are in the store and pulls the keys and pops one open and it's full of dynamite. And he says, if it's making a tunnel, I can get that done. And that's where we're going to end our session for today.
Yay!
Ka-boom.
You've heard the tale, and now who knows where next our hero's path will go come next week, and you'll know. With Devin Redward, Zachary Blaylock,
there's Adam Dunn and Andrew Forsyth too.
That's me.
Harrison Redward, he's the DM. See y'all next week, and don't forget to like, subscribe, review.
Quantum Dungeon.